Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, co-host, and with me today is David Hulley. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Birmingham City tomorrow at Craven Cottage. Before we go into our preview, we will have another segment of the Cottage Talk Quick Shots, which will be topics to get us going in this show. After that, we will have another edition of the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable, which includes us debating questions I put on the Cottage Talk Facebook page for the fans to comment on. Today we have two very interesting topics to break down. Look forward to getting to that. But before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host to the show first. David, how you doing, my friend?
Hiya, Russ. Just catching my breath. I just rushed in. Poor old Mini Ruiz has been in hospital today. Obviously, the departure of Ruiz has hit him harder than I thought it had. But he's on the mend now, hopefully, so not too bad. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how we can move forward after Tuesday's disappointment.
Absolutely, and listen, first of all, most importantly, I hope your son's okay and gets better soon before we do anything else.
Thanks.
Okay, and one more thing before we get going, and David, you and I have a ton to get through. I do want to mention this because I keep getting messages from Fulham supporters just congratulating me and my team, the New England Patriots. I just want to mention this because I've been thinking about this the last couple of days. It really has been incredible here in the Boston area, celebrating the Patriots winning their fourth Super Bowl title. I truly mean this. I want Fulham and the supporters to have a moment like I've had this week. Someday, you know, whether it's winning an FA Cup final, whether it's getting back to a Europa League final, whether it is winning the league, winning the Sky Bet Championship, I want Fulham supporters to have the feeling I've been having this week. Everyone deserves it. I want you to feel what I've been feeling, so hopefully this will happen someday. I believe it will. I just don't know when, but again, I've been thinking about all of the Fulham fans during this whole experience I've been experiencing, and I want everyone to feel this elation because it is quite spectacular, and you all deserve that, and I really hope someday you get it, just like I'm getting it today, this elation of winning a title. It's just unbelievable. All right, enough talking about the Patriots. Let's talk about Fulham, David. And we actually have some Fulham news that I'm going to start with in Cottage Talk Quick Shots. And during Kit's presser, he actually mentioned that Scott Parker is a doubt for the match tomorrow. And also, bonus here, Tim Hoogland and Fernando Morbieta will play tonight for the under-21s against West Ham. So they are on the mend. What are your thoughts of all this news?
Well, Parker, obviously, he is a big loss. I mean, I'm surprised sometimes that people still don't value what he brings to us. But, you know, we've got away with it a few times. Certainly away at Sunderland, we didn't really miss him at all, it seemed. But I think it for me, it presses home the fact that LVC must start tomorrow. And if Kit was being cautious with him on Tuesday, and overly cautious, I think, that was in mind of today, I imagine, or tomorrow, I should say, had an inkling that Parker wouldn't be fit, I don't know, but certainly we would need to see LVC. So it's a bit of a blow because Parker is a very, very valuable, experienced player, and we don't have a lot of experience in the team. But I would assume from what Kit said that we're unlikely to see him. But then we've got, you know, two matches again next week, so we'll need to get him back shortly, hopefully. As regards the other two, yeah, great news because, this is probably the first step. I imagine they would be looking to play them for sort of half the match, whatever, get them, you know, not too much at the moment, just get them through half a game unscathed, and if that goes okay, then look perhaps to press on next week. So, you know, maybe another week or two, because it takes a bit of time to get up to match fitness again, but hopefully not too long to wait to see Hoogland and Mbieta then.
Yeah, you know, it's a good sign. You know, it's definitely a good sign that they're both back. You know, again, Kid indicated that they both will be playing 45 minutes, which is a good step. He didn't want to say that they're going to be back, you know, soon. He basically said it's going to take a little bit getting them back to match fitness to play with the first team, and I definitely understand that. But this is, again, a very good step, and hopefully they will be back sooner than later because I think Fulham could use them. And, you know, it's funny because, again, we talk about the central midfield and, you know, there's a possibility maybe when Tim Hoogland comes back, David, maybe he doesn't play right back. Maybe he helps out at some point, you know, Scott Parker in central midfield. You know, he did play a little bit of that defensive midfield role. Maybe he gets some games during that to give Parker a break. Maybe he also plays right back. But you know, interesting about him is that he is a little bit versatile. Same thing with Amorebieta, who can play center back but can also play left back. So it just gives Kit more options. So hopefully they will be available soon. But getting back to Parker, how we started this, you know, again, it's a, you know, it's a situation that makes me a little nervous for tomorrow. You know, but you mentioned, you know, again, at Sunderland, Tunnicliffe played very well. But I do agree with you. If the situation is that Scott Parker can't play tomorrow, Tunnicliffe would obviously play that role. But I think definitely you have to have LVC in there, you know, to have that kind of player. They need that. They need him. You know, again, I think we're seeing what happens when Fulham do not have LVC and some of their better players. You know, again, it's just not the same team. So they definitely need LVC back in there. And, you know, who knows, maybe Scott Parker will play, you know, but again, he's a doubt for this match. So I wouldn't be counting on it, but we'll see what happens tomorrow when we see the starting 11, David. All right. Let's move on. And, you know, what's interesting, David, obviously there's been so much talk about the lack of investment in the January transfer window. Well, Fulham did announce on Tuesday that they did have a signing, and it's 17-year-old defender Aaron Davis from Bristol City. Now, what are your thoughts about this? He is a young player. Obviously, it looks like this is just another player to help out the academy, but what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I guess somewhere the Welsh connection is involved, because I think he's Welsh, isn't he, as well? So
yes.
Kit knows of him through kind of maybe through that setup. I take it that they've seen him and they sort of rate him highly and they're going to bring him on board and hopefully see where we go with it. I mean, it's very early to say because we have still a lot of players, you know, ahead of him in the academy that we haven't seen yet, or young players. See, Liam Donnelly was, you know, tipped to maybe break through towards the first team squad, but obviously was out with an injury. And we have people like Arthur Worry, who's been out on loan, and of course we've got the Casasola, or whatever he's called, isn't it? The young Argentinian who came in. We haven't seen anything with him yet. So, you know, I imagine with all these things, it's a matter of, it's a numbers game, isn't it?
Yes.
You go for every so many talented youngsters you bring in, you get, you know, only a proportion will bear fruit and the others will fall by the wayside, just won't make the grade, unfortunately. So it's a matter of getting people in, having a look at them, and, you know, really at this stage, can't say more than that. I guess anyone who studies the youngsters more closely, maybe Mike or the people who go to the youth or the under-21 games, will get to see him in time and be able to make a more sort of better judgment really on what he's like and what sort of prospect he's going to be.
You know what, David, very good analysis of the situation, because it is, you know, again, I'm all for them bringing in youngsters. Is, you know, again, like you said, some are going to just fall by the wayside and others will stick. So that's why it is a numbers game. You just have to bring more in. And the fact that that kid is bringing in a player that he might know is also a benefit. So bring him in and see what he can do. But again, you know, I'm all about bringing in the most talented players you can find. Just bring them in. And who makes it, and who doesn't, you know. But you have to keep on replenishing it. That's why when I saw this, you know, again, I don't want to basically ignore that they did bring in a player, because, again, I think the academy is very important to Fulham Football Club, and they have to keep replenishing it. They have to keep bringing players in. It's a constant. They have to keep doing it. So the fact that they brought in this player at the very end, I think, is a very good thing. You know, just keep bringing in players. Keep trying to find players. You know, again, I think that's very important. And it just shows the value of Hugh Jennings. And like you said, David, some are going to make it. Many won't, but that's okay. It's about finding the ones that will make it, but you have to have all the numbers. So very good point by you for really saying that, because you're totally right about that. All right. Other news, David, just want to mention this real quick. Fulham announced that the Bournemouth home match has been moved to Friday, March 6th at 7:45 p.m. local time, because it will be televised. What are your thoughts about this? I feel bad for you, because now you have to come to another Friday night match.
Did you see my bad language on Twitter about this one? I don't know.
I didn't, so I guess you're pretty unhappy about this.
Yeah, well, this is the problem, unfortunately, for supporters. And I know, obviously, the majority of Fulham fans do live fairly close to the Cottage. We're not one of these teams that's supported from, you know, all over the country. We do have our tight fan base, and for some people it's not as bad, but I think this is just, for me anyway, it's a case again of Sky and whatever have, you know, putting their own interests first before the fans, because I'm sure most fans would rather on a Friday evening sort of doing something with their families, or, you know, going out for a drink with their friends, and or they're going to still be at work. It's, you know, it's an inconvenience. For me, it's a big inconvenience because, you know, I have to get kids out of school and I have to get down from up north and get down to London. There's no trains going home, so I have to drive part of the way and leave the car. So for me, it's a major mess up. So, yeah, I mean, and just from a sort of, you know, a side point of view, I just think we've been really poor in the main in these fixtures, and it's been a bit of a jinx for us. And I did hope the club might say no more Friday night fixtures because, you know, we've had, I think it was Brentford, wasn't it? And we had Watford to name two. It just doesn't seem to go very well for us. It's just a Fulhamish thing that we seem to fail when we're live on telly sometimes. So it's a major inconvenience. It'd be wonderful if you could win these games and go into the weekend 3 points ahead of everyone else. But, you know, keep football to 3 o'clock on a Saturday, for God's sake. I mean, that's the best time for everyone. I mean, I wouldn't mind a Saturday lunchtime. I don't even mind that. I can get down a bit earlier. I'm sure other people like that because it gives you more of a day free. Because at the end of the day, I think if you're going to go to football on a Saturday, all you do is get up in the morning and you get ready and you wait to go to football. You don't do a lot. I mean, not many people go to work on a Saturday morning probably and then go to football. So even Saturday lunchtime, but it's a real horrible time of Friday night fixture for me. I just hate it. So I was really annoyed when I saw this. I guess for you, Russ, it's probably brilliant because it gives you an extra chance of the game being shown live, doesn't it? Is it on a link or stream or something?
Yeah, you know, there is that opportunity for me, but honestly, I, you know, again, for me, that doesn't matter. I'm more concerned about people like yourself and you know, the Fulham supporters that are there. You know, forget about me. You know, honestly, I don't like the whole situation with the matches not being televised. I'm talking about all the matches. You know, I'm a proponent that every Sky Bet Championship match should be televised around the world, and I'm not gonna back down on that. The fact that, again, there's only a few matches each and every week that are televised. It's Friday night, and then again it moves. You know, it moves a Saturday match, which again is at a very good time for Fulham supporters. Now it moves it to a Friday night. I know it sounds good, but I don't like it at all. I don't like it for the Fulham supporters. Sorry, I don't like it. You know, again, I want Fulham to be on television, but not like this. I don't like the Friday matches at all. You know, that's just in general. I don't like the Friday matches. I want them at, you know, like you would say, 3 p.m. your time. Each and every week is fine by me. So I'm not a fan of this at all. And you know, again, I don't know, you know, again, the club obviously wants the team to be televised, so I get why they're going to do this, but, you know, I'm not for it. So to answer your question, I'm not happy about it either, David. Not at all. Just, you know, that's just my feeling on it. I would rather it be Saturday. I look forward to the Saturday morning matches here. You know, now I'm listening to it, and that's fine. I would rather do that than listen to it on a Friday night or possibly try to get a stream of it. You know, forget about all that. For me, it's about the Fulham supporters. Have it on Saturday, you know, and that's just, you know, again, that's just my feeling on it. All right. Enough of talking about that fixture against Bournemouth. But I do want to mention, David, you were talking about all the bad luck we've had on Friday nights. We did have one very good match that was against Charlton. You know, again, there was one. You know, so just keep that in mind. We did get that big victory early in the season. All right. Let's move on, David. Let's go into the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. I have two very interesting topics for us to discuss, and I have to tell you, I've gotten a tremendous amount of response on both of these. So, again, let's start here. Let's talk about the January transfer window. You and I will talk about it. Then I will read some of the comments, and then we'll talk about it again. So here's the first question I asked. On a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being the highest, what is your disappointment level with the January transfer window? I'll start with you, David. 0 to 10, where is it for you?
Well, I did read actually some of these, and I have a feeling a few people misinterpreted it because I saw Yanis seem to be very unhappy, but he gave a 2. And I assume you obviously meant that 10 is the worst score to give, so 10 is the maximum dissatisfaction, yeah, and 0 is least. Is that the way you planned it out?
No, I think he got it right.
Oh. I should have never argued. Okay, well, in terms of dissatisfaction, I was pretty dissatisfied with it because I felt that.
Actually, I'm sorry, David. You got it right, and I think Giannis just misinterpreted. You're right about that. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Are you sure now, Russ? Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I think Giannis in that case was probably giving an 8 out of 10. Then in that case, and I would tend to agree with him, something like that. I know we weren't going to spend big in January. It was obvious we weren't going to go mad. I think it was, you know, there's two factors. Because one, we have constrictions on us. We have a big squad. We have a big wage bill, financial fair play. And because you get robbed in January as well quite often if you're not careful. So I knew we weren't going to go big, but there were key areas. It still concerns me massively that we only have Pajamas really as a backup keeper. The fullback situation, I guess we're almost through that. We have Jazz Richards here on loan. We have Hoogland and Amubieta somewhere coming back. But it's that creative midfielder, you know. We've got rid of Ruiz. Well, we think we've got rid of Ruiz. Chris David, we've got rid of him. We've got rid of Eisfeldt. Kakanicic, we don't know if he can really play there permanently. And then so we seem to be stuck with McCormack going there. And, you know, in Kit's interview, he's intimated at that again. I think if I would have, you know, if we'd have had the option to go big anywhere, if there was a creative midfield out there who could play in that kind of role, I would have, you know, that's the real trouble, because we haven't been turning possession into enough chances, for me anyway, enough shooting opportunities and shots on target. So certainly I would have been looking at that, a creative midfielder, I think, and possibly a better backup goalkeeper. But really, we've done absolutely nothing. I mean, it's, you know, it makes my four-fifths of you-know-what look generous, I think, really, because it's one-fifth of that, I think, isn't it, really, Russ? So, yeah, pretty dissatisfied, because it's just about the intent as well, you know, that Khan has said, allegedly, he wants to get us back to the Premier League, and, you know, and Kit needs backing there, and for all, you know, people's reservations about Kit, he does need to have the ammunition to do the job as well. You know,
right.
It's going to be hard for him if he can't augment the squad in areas, in key areas. And obviously, we don't know if Kit thinks he's totally happy with the squad. I mean, this is what we had before. We had this perception that Martin Jol was totally happy with his squad. We didn't buy because Jol was totally happy. He thought we had a strong enough squad, which proved not to be the case. Now, we don't really know about Kit. We have a lot of young players, but I still think we need a few key people in key areas just to augment that and to help bring them through, and to offer something different, something a little bit maybe less predictable. So for me, I'm just disappointed that we just didn't show the intent really to go out there and maybe make a signing or two.
Well, let me ask you about the intent, because you're talking a great deal about intent before I give you my number. And yes, I meant that 10 would be the highest of dissatisfaction, and of course, as I'm saying it, I screwed that part up, so sorry about that, David, and obviously... There are some fans that misinterpreted, so I apologize for that. The reason why I ask you about intent, you know, again, bringing in players, were you looking for an intent for going for it, to try for a push for promotion, or intent for adding players to a lineup going for next season? What are you talking about intent, and then I'll share my thoughts on it.
Well, I think promotion is out of the window this year.
Right, I
mean,
agree with that.
If you have an intent, I suppose, and, you know, and I'm not being negative, but at all costs, you must make sure we stay in this league, at absolute all costs. There must be, you know, we must not slip down another level. And I'm not saying we will do, or I think we will, but you can't say it's not possible. It is physically possible. A few bad games, and you're right in the mire again. So
sure.
An intent must be to you know, maintain our position. But the trouble is, otherwise, we end up with this kind of dead season. You know, you have, like in America, when you've had your elections, you then have that period where the president is no longer really the president, but he's still the president, yeah?
Right.
And we just have a season where we're just going to be sort of going through the motions, where maybe we can't get relegated, we can't get promoted, and then we're just playing for nothing. It would be nice to actually kind of put a bit of a run together at the end of the season and start showing that we could be a force to be reckoned with, to give us something to build on for next season, and some hope maybe for the fans, and just a bit of momentum, really.
right. Okay. No, I understand where you're going on that. First of all, the reason why I want to clarify the intent is because I don't think that the intent obviously is to get promoted. I think the intent is to rebuild, and I think that the push is going to be this summer. So for me, I hear what you're saying, David. This is a rebuild. Let's call what it is. It's a reboot. I said this last year. You know, and a rebuild can take a year or two. This is going to, for me, going to take another season, which is fine. I think we all discussed that. You know, again, the club needed to go through a complete rebuild. This is not a lost season. This is where I disagree with you because, again, you have a lot of young players that can grow into their roles while figuring out how to win. They have not figured out consistently how to win. So give this core group of players a chance to figure out how to win. There's enough talent to keep us up, okay? That's number one. I truly believe there's enough talent here. I hear what you're saying. We should always be worried about it. You know, again, stranger things have happened. The possibility is still there. But the way I'm looking at it is that it's about next season, and it's about building something, like you said, building momentum. You can do that with this core group. You can believe in the players that you have. You play them more. So when you start the next season, that's when you add the missing pieces that you're talking about, David. That's when you do the big push this summer. You assess what you have from this season. You go as far up the table as you can. You say, okay, this is what we need to take us to the next level. That's what this summer's going to be all about. That's why I'm not terribly disappointed by the transfer window. I give it a 5. The reason why I'm disappointed is just because I guess part of me was hoping that they would do that final push. You know, again, a final push to see if we could get promoted. But you know what? They basically showed their intent that they're looking farther along, which is fine. They are looking another year away, which is fine by me. So it's all about getting us into position for next season. You'll agree with that. That's why I think we have a good core group of players. You did bring up a position that does concern me. You know, that creative midfielder, you have Chris David and Thomas Eisfeld go out on loan. You know, you're going to move back. It sounds like probably you're going to have Ross McCormack play that cam role, which you and I are not in favor of. So that part of this, I'm not crazy about. I could see your point on that. But overall, I want to see the young players grow into their roles. I want to see more players come out like LVC did. I think Sean Kavanaugh has a possibility to do that. Maybe Jack Rimmer does. Let them play more. Let them start to build momentum towards next season. You know, again, that to me is what it's really about, David. So I am a little disappointed, but for a different reason, because I'm looking at the bigger picture.
Well, fine. I mean, you know, it's all very well talking about the bigger picture, but for me, part of the bigger picture is also, I suppose you say, the smaller picture then, that we have to look after our interests in the meantime as well. It's
sure.
Not just about, it's all very well saying, you know, we're going to be crap for 3 years, but we'll be all right in the end. You know, we need to kind of, you know, look after your pennies and the pounds will look after themselves sort of scenario. That we need to manage it on all levels, both.
Oh, I totally agree with you, David.
You know,
I totally agree with that.
You know, I had this when Yoel came in. I didn't like what Yoel did, and people said to me, oh, it's all part of the picture. You know, he's building his own team and he's going to, you know, he just needs to get this in place. And what happened? Nothing. So that's one of these euphemisms that people throw at you sometimes, isn't it? You know, that it's all part of the bigger picture. Is there a bigger picture, though? Is there actually a bigger picture? Or are we going to,
well,
you know,
well, in this case, David, I think there is because of the way Fulmer set up. Fulmer, again, under Martin Yoel, was not including the youth into this. This is about the youth. Let's call it what it is. This is really about all these young players. Some are going to make it, some on, like we've already talked about. But it's building a core for the future. And I'm not saying it's going to take 3 years. I think that if Fulham do it right, especially adding pieces this summer, David, to the core that they want to have moving forward, they can get promoted next season. But again, they have to do it right. This is not a lost season. This is about building towards next season, getting as high up that table. Like you said, building the momentum. They can do that with the group that they have. You know, and I can hear our co-host Mike Gregg saying, you know, let the young players play. You know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit of what Mike has said, but we use LVC as the example, David. Let these guys play. But like you mentioned, it can't be a situation where we could, you know, get relegated. And I don't see that happening. There's too much talent there right now and intent enough to get us to the end and hopefully building something towards the future. You know, and toward the end of this season, I want to end the season strong. I've seen the fixtures. There's an opportunity for us to go pretty far up this table. There really is. And I think even with not investing in January, they have the opportunity to do it because I think they have enough players now. It just won't be that promotion push that I was hoping for. That's out the window, and that's fine. So that's kind of how I look at it. But let's see how the Fulham supporters are looking at it because I got a feeling they're probably more on the same lines with you, David, which is fine. Let's start with Liam Byrne. He says about a 7, losing all of our attack and central midfielders on loan, and only bringing Fofana and Richards is a bit of disappointment. Maybe we'll do some more business in the summer. And that's not true. And also, there is that emergency loan situation coming up very soon, David, that we don't know if they're going to do any emergency loans, but that's coming up, I think, very soon. All right. Yeah, I said probably a 2, Russ, but like we said, we think he means an 8. Lost Eisfeld, David, and probably Ruiz, and our squad looks bare to the bone in experience. The Fofana loan bugs me because Aloney is playing every game. Look at the Newcastle Rangers fiasco where Rangers have been told that 5 loanies must start every game, and the Williams loan issue rubbed me the wrong way. So, obviously, Giannis is upset about this. Dean Pill wrote, I'm not bothered. We have more than enough to keep us about mid-table. Smith will come back on March 1st and target the Aussie striker is getting fit and scoring goals for the under-21s. I'm hoping we're saving money for a big investment in the summer so we can challenge for promotion next season. That's where my mindset is. Jane Eastwood wrote, do you really have to ask? I can tell that she's upset about that. Chris Baugh wrote, I would say around about a 5 where I am. Clearly wasn't great for us, but I do feel that we have been pushing for a playoff place. We would have seen a bit more productivity, activity, and that's kind of where I was going. That's why I put it at a 5. Okay, Marty Ward, obviously upset about it. You can put a minus 10 on that, so he's upset. But, again, I think he's thinking the wrong way, just a 10. You know, again, like you said, I think people
20,
misunderstood, David. I screwed it up.
Plus 20.
I screwed this up. Let's see what else we got. Okay. Ben Reed, 6, quite disappointed, but certainly not as the end is near as some Fulham fans right now. The exits of Eisfeld and David are irrelevant. Neither were seemingly close to getting a start for the first team. So let's see what else Ben had to say, because Ben has a lot to say, and I just don't have time to read it all. But thank you for your comments there, Ben. He really goes into detail. Let's see. Alex Sano wrote, a 9, awful. We clearly needed defensive cover and toughening up to balance the flair and the inexperience of the youngsters. Only thing that is making it a 10 is Tunnicliffe coming back. Good move there. Okay. And then I'll just read one more. Lee Randall. 2. Again, he probably means an 8, David. Why pay over the odds for players in January when you're only going to use them for a short time? Oh, actually, he does mean it, too. We also get the loan window opening on the 10th of February, so there's no need to panic buy. It was actually a 2. He's not really concerned about it. I read that one wrong. Of course, I'm reading these all wrong. Okay. I'll just read one more. Roger Lewis. 7 for me. For years, we've needed a central attacking playmaker, and we still have not got one. David, you've been talking about this. Ruiz is not a number 10, nor is McCormack or Kaká. Okay, so Roger is right in lockstep with you, David. All right, David, what are your thoughts on some of those comments I just read?
So I was just trying another point of principle. If Martin Ward had given minus 10, but in fact he read it the wrong way around, that should then
be
plus 20, shouldn't it? That should be 20,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Because it's 10 plus 10. But anyway, it's good to hear everyone's views. I did have a read, and I don't know if it was on this one or the other one or both. Some people were quite, I was a bit disappointed with some of the answers that people weren't even prepared to engage. They just gave sort of silly answers. And I think it's always good to sort of hear people's point of view because it's very true about, you know, the transfer window in January, getting robbed, getting poor deals and things like that. And you know, and it's a very, very fine balance between finding the faith in what you have now and developing what you have now and doing like a QPR and just going and buying everyone you can, really. And you know that doesn't work either. We know that doesn't work, just going and buying a team, not unless you get very lucky and have silly money. So it's a very, very fine-tuned balance to find, isn't it? But, you know, I think we've all been fairly consistent with our views about certain issues and where the team is lacking. You know, Mike would love us to play a 4-4-2, but we just don't have, you know, the wingers or the wing, you know, to do so. We don't have the right wide players to do so, maybe, or we haven't at least tried that. And if we do that, are we strong enough in the middle? And if we play the diamond, you know, the cam has been the big argument all season. You know, we had, was it Chris David, and we had Brian Ruiz, and now we've got, you know, even worse, really. I think, honestly, if I thought McCormack was going to end up being stuck at cam, I'd actually get Brian Ruiz back. I really would, because just
wow.
To get McCormack forward, because it's just a terrible waste. It's just a terrible waste.
Now, I agree with you, there. David. It's something that's frustrating me. I agree with you. You know, again, when I thought about it a couple of months ago, I thought it would be a good move to move him in the camera, but after seeing him, it really is a waste.
It makes sense because he's an industrious player. He's a lot harder working than Ruiz is, and he's a clever player, but it's a waste of what he can do further forward. He can do all that further forward and hurt them. So I think, you know, we've been talking about potentially needing wide men, attacking midfielders, fullbacks have been in and out of the issues, goalkeepers, but there's just nothing, and it just worries me a bit. So, you know, I accept perfectly that some people are happy with what we have and they have faith in the setup, and that's good. But it's just, I suppose, for me, it's been a long time now. We've had a few seasons where it's, you know, false starts or false dawns, isn't it? You know, when Khan came in, we all expected so much, and we got relegated. And we've had all the different managers, new managers and things. And, you know, I think it was Anthea said earlier on, would we have been better if we just stuck with Muhlenstein? I do wonder now, if we just stuck with Muhlenstein.
We're going to talk about that in the next subject, because I'm going to bring up his name when we talk about that, because I'm glad that you brought him up. I want to talk about that when we talk about our next question. Definitely, I'm glad that you brought up Muhlenstein, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, same. So, you know, you think to yourself, if we just stuck to where we were with Muhlenstein, not got Wilkins and Kerbishley in and let Muhlenstein have a go. I don't know. You know, could he have saved us? I don't know. We were weak, but perhaps he could have done. But we'll never know now, obviously. And we've had so many false starts, and people keep asking for patience. And it's very good, you know, yes, let's be patient. Let's have faith in the manager. Let's have faith in the squad. But how long can you be patient for? And we've had, you know, years of decline now, and at the moment, you know, perhaps we're not declining anymore, but we're not yet getting forward. I mean, James Dowden said it was two steps forward and three back at the moment for him.
Right.
It does feel a bit like that at times, because we just haven't seen something to really latch onto. We have these false starts. We start to look better, and then we're regressing again, I suppose. So, and I know bringing in a new star players in January isn't necessarily going to fix that. You never know. But then Roy did a bit of business in January, and he ultimately saved us. So it can be done. And that's where, I mean, you know, going on to the Kit question, does Kit have the nous? Does he have the contacts? Does he have the expertise to seek out these bargains and these players who will fit in?
Yeah,
so
but it's not about him anymore. That's what you're missing.
That?
It's not about him anymore.
About
it's
Kit.
It's about Mike Rigg now, David. That's who it's about
is
now.
It?
That's the person who's really trying to get the players for Kit. I mean, Kit probably has some cachet in what he wants. It probably goes to him, and they probably discuss it. But this is Mike Rigg's job now. So that's how things have changed. That's why the January transfer window for me is an adjustment, because I think it's really all gearing up towards the summertime, David. There's a new man in charge. So think about that. That's why things have really changed. That's why I see what you're saying. I get what you're saying. You know, you've seen the decline. And I hear what James Dowden is saying. Two steps, you know, three steps back, two steps forward, you know, keep going back and forth. I get that. That's what you're going to get with a rebuild. This is a true rebuild that I'm used to seeing here in America. And I know that it does take some time. You have to have a little faith in it. What we were going with Yoel and that whole situation was a steady decline, David. That's not what this is. This is starting over. It's two completely different things. I understand why you're frustrated, because you want to see us start moving forward. You know, again, it doesn't look like it's happening, because it's going back, going forward, going back, going forward. It takes time. But I truly believe at one point we're going to then start ascending forward. It's just a matter of when, because, you know, you got to give Kidd a chance. But we'll definitely talk about that moving forward in the next subject. But again, I know that you're putting this all at Kidd's feet. There's a new man in charge. Everyone's forgetting about Mike Rigg. You can't forget about him. He's now in charge. You know, that's his job. His job is to bring the players in. And, you know, again, that's why I think that they're gearing up for this summer. And that's why I'm not really worried about right now. I just want us to see us go as far as we can with the talent that we have and then see what we can do next season. And listen, trust me, if they don't bring in talent this summer, I'll be the first screaming my head off because they really need to. They need to implement what they already have. They need to find their core of young players, have some experienced players still here, and then bring in the real talent, the blue-chip talent around it. And I think that they will. I truly believe they will, David. I'm not worried about it. I think they will invest this summer. I don't think this is a situation where Khan's like, you know what, I'm not going to invest money. I don't think that is the case at all. I just think that they are waiting towards the summer to really get this thing going and then let the young players build something right now. And I'm not against that. Anyways, you know, but some really good comments from the Fulham supporters. You know, again, like you said, you know, some were for, some were really against it, you know, very bad, you know, someone like me, you know, so it's always good to engage our audience, David, and get some thoughts on it. It was really, really good, and I'm sorry if I, you know, again, some people misunderstood, you know, the 0-10. I apologize for that. All right, David, it's time to get to question number two, and as you can imagine, question number two has a huge amount of comments. So I'm going to read it, but what I want to do is I want to talk about it first, my intent of throwing this question up. The Cottage Talk Facebook question was, should Fulham consider replacing Kit Simons as manager now or give him more time until the end of the season to see how Fulham end up? Now, the reason why I wanted to pose this question is over the weekend I saw a good amount of chatter on Facebook and on Twitter about Kit Simons and Kit out. You know, you've said it to me. I've saw it in so many places. So I'm like, you know what? We should discuss it. We should share our thoughts on it. I'm not saying for or against at this point. It will come out while we talk about it. But I think it's worthwhile us discussing because there are fans out there that have this in their mind, you know, about Kit Simons, you know, thinking about Kit Simons. So that's why I wanted to pose it. So, David, what are your thoughts on my question?
Read me the question as you worded it exactly.
I will read it to you again, one more time. Should Fulham consider replacing Kit Simons as manager now or give him more time until the end of the season to see how Fulham end up?
Okay. Should they consider replacing him now? No. There would be no benefit that I see to that. We have no transfer windows apart from the emergency loan windows. He hasn't had very long. He needs to have more time. Should they consider replacing him at the end of the season? Possibly. Maybe certainly. He has from now till then to show that he is progressing, I think. He needs to demonstrate that he's learning into the role and that he has the tactical nous and awareness to take us forward, because myself and others have thrown up loads of questions. Now, you know, I don't want to do I told you so's, but there was quite a few of us who said we weren't convinced he was the right man for the job. But at the time, to be honest with you, our results under him as a caretaker were good, and there wasn't really anyone else around that, you know, floated our boat, let's say. There was no standout candidate standing against him that we would have rather had. So he was kind of, you know, perhaps for some of us accepted begrudgingly because there wasn't a better choice. We had our reservations whether he had experience to take us forward. There were some, obviously, who wanted him signed up on day one. And I still maintain my stance from before that I wasn't sure, and I still not. And some of the things I've seen do concern me. And you know, it's the same old things, and I don't want to go over and over it again, but, you know,
right.
Failure to make changes during the matches probably would be my biggest complaint. You know, picking the right team is difficult. You know, we can all sit here and say, well, let's pick this 11. And it's very easy in theory to do so. And you can come up with something that sounds good. But until they start playing and until they see how they match up with the opposition, you're never going to know for sure. But once you do see that, you're then in a better position perhaps to make adjustments or to try and be sharp and outwit the other team or the other manager. And that's the biggest concern for me, that he hasn't made these changes. Too often it's been the other way around. We've been in matches and we've started okay, and the other side have made changes and they've got a lot better, and we haven't countered that. And Tuesday night, again, it was obvious it wasn't working, but he didn't make any changes. And, you know, even Mike, who's a bigger fan, and you've seen the match as well, I think we all agreed a change should have been made at half time or around that kind of time frame. And it wasn't done. And that's things that concern me. So if I was, you know, in charge, and I'm not in charge, but if I was in charge, I would be looking at things like that. And I'm thinking, hold on, if he's not got the ability to outfox the other managers or to make these changes, then he's not the man for us. But the decision can't be made now. It has to be made at the end of the season. But however, if there are people with doubts, then perhaps this is a time they need to start looking to see who might be available, who might be a fit for us.
Interesting take there, David. And I 100% agree with you that Kit needs to the end of the season. And when I started seeing Kit out, I was, you know, again, I wanted to talk about it because I know fans, there are fans that believe he should go now, you know. And my feeling on it is similar to you, David. You know, again, I think he needs the season. He needs time to have his own team. This is now his team. You know, again, I don't know if all of these players would be his players, but again, this is his team. Let him finish off the season. Let him see, David. You know, again, we've talked about this. Can he learn from match to match? You know, I've seen matches where he's made adjustments. Then we saw the last match when he didn't make any adjustments. Well, I shouldn't say adjustments very late with his substitutions. So again, it's, you know, it goes back to something that James Down said. You know, two steps forward, three steps back. Because again, I've seen him make adjustments. I've seen him change the formation. Then we have a match like this, and it makes you scratch your head again. So I get where you're going on this. But I think he needs more time to figure it out. You know, to figure it out, you know, he's still a fairly new manager. This is, you know, again, I know he was a caretaker manager in other places. This is really, you know, again, a big undertaking for him. Going from the under-21s just recently to this, this is different. I believe he's more than capable of doing it. But I think he's learning on the job. He's going to learn. He's going to make mistakes. And hopefully he will learn from them and be able to adjust. My whole thing, David, this to me would be the deal breaker with me with Kit, is if he just said, you know what, it's my way or the highway. I'm not going to change. We do what we do, and this is the lineup, and this is what we're going to play. That to me would be okay. Then it's time to change. But that's not what he's done. He's actually changed things. I could see that at times he has learned from match to match, and that's great. And I just hope that we see more of it. But just like the players, and I want to throw the players in this, they're learning as they go on. This is a brand-new team. They're going to make mistakes. That's what a rebuild's about. The rebuild is a complete rebuild. It's not just about the players. It's also about the manager. The manager is learning as well. Let's hope by the end of the season that he learns enough and grows into the job that everyone feels comfortable moving forward. That's the goal, David. The goal is for Kit Simons to really cement himself as the full manager for the long term. He has, you know, for me, you know, again, I can't speak for the club. I can't speak for anyone else. For me, I'm going to give him to the end of the season to see how he can improve and move us forward. You know, again, like I said, it's been stop-start. I get that. But you get that with a new team. You get that with a new manager. It all makes sense. I just want to give him time, David. That's all. You know, I see where you're going with this, and you and I are kind of in agreement with some of the challenges. But I want him to have the season. That's all. And you agree with me on that?
No, I don't see any point in making a knee-jerk reaction before that.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of things right, obviously. He's, you know, I mean, I could be cynical and say, well, that's not hard after Felix, because Felix was such a lunatic. And some of these things were just obvious. And I think most of us, most fans out there, could have seen what we were lacking in. But he's got a lot right. But it's moving us, it's the old question, moving us to the next level. Can he build upon that?
Exactly.
Can he show tactical awareness and whatever else it needs to be able to pick the right team, to play players in the right positions, to use people to their strengths, to make changes where needed? And that's the big question. That is a big question at the moment. I'm not convinced. I'm really not convinced, because I've seen some in both Sunderland games. I mean, both Sunderland games, you know, could have been won, I think, by better tactics. And it's only my opinion, and other people can disagree with that, but up at Sunderland, we lost our advantage when they went down to 10 men because he played Ruiz and Kakaniklić together in central midfield, basically, and we were weak. And the same basically happened on Tuesday. We were weak in centre midfield against Sunderland, and they walked through us. And you saw that. I'm not, you know, I'm not imagining it, I think. Most people saw that. And it's these things that concern me, and the substitution. I know Mike did a lot of analysis about the substitutions and things, but for me, he's still not reactionary enough. It's still it's all happened too late. So, you know, but for me, as I say, don't make a knee-jerk reaction now. That would just be ridiculous because we've had so much disruption at this club. So many lunatics involved. We need to kind of get a bit of stability. And, you know, he's got a good rapport there with the younger players and he could do something good. But unfortunately, I don't think in this day and age there's a lot of patience in football. There's probably not a lot of patience from Fulham fans, unfortunately, because we've got spoilt by 13 years in the Premier League and we want to get back to there. In the main, there are some good things. There are some bonuses about not being in the Premier League. There are things that you don't really miss. But in the main, we want to be back there. We've been spoilt. And we know that the longer it takes, the harder it will be. So the patience isn't there too much. So unfortunately for Kit, he needs to learn quick and, you know, he needs to get his act together quick and get the team performing quick. Otherwise, unfortunately,
I hear what you're saying, and I can understand the impatience here. And that's why
if he doesn't get it together quickly, then someone else will make that decision, unfortunately.
Right. That's why, again, by the end of the season, I think we're going to have a good idea. You know, I think that's a decent amount of time to judge someone. You know, he'll have most of the year. And then Mr. Khan can make his own judgment if this is the man he wants to push Fulham forward. You know, again, then there'll be like almost a full year body of work where he can really say, okay, is this the guy to take us forward? And the reason why I want to bring up Molenstein, because I go back to this, you know, again, it's revisionist history. I wish they stuck with Molenstein. David, I think we still get relegated, but, you know, again, I'm thinking, you know, Rene Molenstein with a young team, you know, now, you know, the rebuild would have started a little bit earlier. That was my only point on Rene Molenstein is that, again, there would have been, I think maybe we would have been a little bit farther along, and I actually thought he was a good manager, you know, or had the potential, I should say potential to be a good manager. Obviously, he was learning on the job. I feel like it's almost a similar situation that we have with Kit because he was, you know, again, I thought he was over his head, you know, again, trying to match wits against some of these managers. I just thought, again, that was the unfortunate part of this is that I don't think he was, you know, farther along as a manager to, you know, I don't think he had enough experience to really combat all of that. I think someday he could be that manager, but for our situation where we were, it probably wasn't the best fit. But I would have kept him. I would have kept him instead of bringing in, you know, the mad German. You know, that turned out to be a nightmare. Obviously, I would have kept Rene Molenstein. I wouldn't have made the move. They were trying to survive. I get why they did it, but if you're asking me, I would have stuck with Rene, and hopefully Rene would have still been our manager now. But I do like Kit. I believe in Kit. I think managers can get better over time. I don't think Sir Alex Ferguson became a great manager overnight. I don't think these managers all of a sudden, you know, from day one, David, become this tremendous manager. I think it takes experience. So that's why I'm willing to give him time, if that makes any sense, because you know, you have to go through situations to learn how to adapt and learn how to improve. That's what I think we're seeing with Kit Simons. Now, like I said, if he's not willing to learn and change, that's a different story. If you know, again, I've seen managers that say, no, it's just my way or the highway. I'm not willing to change a thing. Then he's not the right man for Fulham Football Club. But if he's willing to learn from his mistakes and try to improve the club, then who knows, he might be the right man. And we still need time to see that. So those are my thoughts on that. That's why I'm willing to give him until the end of the season, and we'll take it there. But I understand why some fans want him to go now, because they're, you know, like you said, we're all a little spoiled here. We've been in the Premier League and we're disappointed. and we expect certain things. Okay, so I'm just going to read some comments, David. Then we have to move on to preview the match, and because you have to get out a little early, so we won't go the distance we normally go. Okay, let's start with, again, this is on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Let's start with Liam Byrne. Is this a serious question? The minimum amount of time he should have is until December. If it's going to really horribly and we are in relegation scrap, then look at getting rid of him and seeing him who is out there. He is doing a decent job. He won more than he has lost. Okay, he's made mistakes, but we're not in a terrible position. Okay. Chris Cox said, think Kidd is struggling a bit at the moment, but who's available? Give Kidd at least until the end of the season, then take stock. See, I'm right with Chris on that. You as well are right with Chris. Who would you replace? And that was a question that Dave Phillips asked. Dana Matassa wrote, we're roughly top 10 since Kidd took over. I wouldn't even consider a replacement. If he had a more experienced club, he would be higher in the table. You have to give him some time to select his players. Amin Mohammed wrote, if he's going to get chopped, then it better till the end of the season, as a sack and that will cost us like last season. Ian Keith Evans wrote, it takes time to build a good team. Kitt's done a good job with the players he has. Let's give him time to do it. Okay, I'm just going to continue here. Okay, Marty Ward wrote, I think we have screwed ourselves after having a manager committee. I have no idea what they're going to do. Okay, so obviously Marty's concerned about the situation. Ben Reed chimes in, Briefcase Ben on Twitter, an absolute ludicrous suggestion. People need to take a step back and have a view of our season from a neutral standpoint. We had a disastrous start under McGaff. Kidd has steadied the ship. Morale is now higher than ever, and we've had a decent run. And Ben keeps going, but Ben can go on and on, and I just don't have time, Ben, to continue on. But good point. And Ben, just so you know, and to everyone wondering why I posed this question, is because it was out there. People were talking about it, so I'm just posing the question. I don't think that Kidd should be replaced. Now, I think that Kidd should stay this season, and we'll take it from there. And David agrees with me, but I think it's worth talking about. Alf Russell, his message was, give him till the end of the season. John James, no, he needs to be given time. Cameron Coombs, stupid question. You know, again, I understand that. I just thought it was worth talking about. Lars Anderson, evaluate the manager at the end of the season. If we will be relegated, then he is history. Kathleen Edwards, give Kidd a chance. Okay, so obviously many of these messages, David, are for Kidd for the end of the season. Patrick Cairo, it's a ridiculous question. I can go on and on. We've had so many comments. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your thoughts on it. Like I said, I have so many. I just don't have time to go through all of them. But what are your thoughts on some of those comments, David?
Well, it's a bit disappointing when people just say it's a stupid question because, you know, you're not going to get anywhere by sticking your head in the sand and not debating these things. Whether it is a silly question or not, I think every question deserves a sensible answer. And in the main, people have come back with very sensible answers. And there's, you know, a spread between, you know, with different, the range of what to do. And obviously, in the main, people are saying certainly give Kidd at least the end of the season. Some are saying longer. I don't think, there's not a much call, really, to get rid of him immediately because I don't think anyone can see where we would go because there's no clear replacement lined up anyway. And as I say, that it would be difficult for a manager. We tried it last year. It didn't work. So, no, I mean, it would be foolish, I think, to do that.
Right.
But unfortunately, I think, you know, in this day and age, you probably get a season as a manager at a time. And if you don't do well in that season, then your chances of making it the next season are probably smaller. We kept Joel too long, much too long. But
absolutely. Now, David, you were right about Joel.
Well, we had underinvestment as well. So, you know, you can't say it was completely Joel, but Joel's team was very much focused around Berbatov and Ruiz and both controversial players. And, excuse me, sorry. So, and Joel was very reliant on them performing and producing the goods. And if they didn't, then, you know, because they were luxury players and we had 10 other players that had to, or 9 other players that had to make up for them in terms of graft and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that in that day we've learned from that now, and I don't think we will retain managers for a long time unless they are performing. So, And I think even Roy Hodgson was on a rolling year contract. A lot of managers are on that kind of scenario these days, a rolling year or so, because it's cost too much to get rid of them otherwise and everything. So certainly end of the season. I mean, let's see how it goes. Let's not do a Norwich and sack him sort of a couple of games for the end of the season, even if it's going badly. Let's just hope he can get things together. And hopefully, you know, with the Hoogland and Amavieta coming back, we'll have more options then. I'm hoping we will see a stronger defence. We will have the option, as you mentioned, of Hoogland playing in a central midfield role if needs be, but I'm not sure if we will need that. But Hoogland sure is up a bit there anyway. And I don't know, we've got Fofana at the end of the season. They might extend Richards, but it'd be less likely if Hoogland is back and fit. But certainly end of the season, I don't think anything, any much as I'm dissatisfied with some of his recent performances, I don't think we should do anything too drastic at this point.
Listen, I totally agree with you, David. And listen, I'm glad that we've had a chance to really talk about this. The one other thing before we move on that I want to talk about, and this goes back to our friend Andy Buckley-Taylor when he came on the show. This is where I'm hoping we see from Kit someday. You know, again, I don't know if we will, but this is what I would like to see from someone like Steve McLaren. You know, and again, I asked Andy earlier in the season about Derby County. What was the differences between Clough and McLaren? And he told me that substitutions at the end of matches, McLaren would go for a positive substitution, meaning that even if they were up, David, he wouldn't play more defensive, he'd play more offensive. And I've watched enough of Derby County to see that that has been his intent, that has been his approach. They're always going forward, they're always trying to score, they're always trying to be more positive. And if there's one thing that I would like to see at some point from Kit, it would be that type of an approach. And I'll bring up the match when we're up 1-0, David. You already talked about this against Sunderland. Why not be more positive at halftime and bring on LVC then, like you were suggesting? Let's go for it. Instead of holding on to 1-0, let's go for 2 or 3. Let's take the match to that. That's what I'm hoping we see down the road for Kit Simons. Changes like that, that if we're up, instead of playing more defensive, go for it. You know, try to get that second or third goal, because it seems to be working for Derby County, and, you know, and they're having a great year. And I've seen it work for other managers. You know, it's not just McLaren. You know, ever since we've been in the league, I've noticed other managers do the exact same thing. And I'm so used to managers being more defensive. There are some managers, I believe the Bournemouth manager did a similar thing, where he tried to be more offensive. You know, try to put the match away. I like that approach, David. What are your thoughts on that? Then we'll move on. All right, it looks like I lost David for a second. Let me just bring him back on. Sorry about that, David. Probably just dropped off, and he's down right back in there. David, you back with me?
Yeah, sorry, I was just doing my old special again. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Of course, just when you drop off, I think that you're there, but that's okay. I just want to get quickly your thoughts on the McLaren approach. And again, there have been other managers that I've noticed that have done this late in matches. You know, again, I could just say in the second half, you know, if they're up, instead of playing more defensively, they've made substitutions that were more offensive in nature.
Well, for me, actually, the change was actually a more defensive one, the one I was suggesting to bring on LVC, because, of course, we would have been losing Kakanicic or Woodrow or someone else. But it was just because we were so open that it just looked like Sunderland would score. So it would have been to balance the team up more. So although it would have been, in a way, offensive, because we were making the first move and we were taking the game, you know, making the changes for them. We're making them something to think about. It would have been to shore us up more. To shore us up, really, in this case, because we needed shoring up on Tuesday night. But there are times when you're right.
Okay,
you're right. There's times when we've been 1-0 up and we've just sat back and we've invited pressure and stuff. And no, you know, take the game to them. They can't attack you. Yeah.
Right. Again, because that is the one thing that I noticed that when Andy was on with us, he kept stressing the major change. Because I want to know what was the change that all of a sudden, you know, again, Derby County last season were not struggling, but they were just, you know, again, mid-table. And then they made the change of manager, and what a dramatic effect they have with McLaren. And he basically said it was just his approach. You know, nothing against Nigel Clough. It was more of the approach of Steve McLaren. So, again, you know, I'm not saying that kid needs to be that manager, but I'd like to see some of that. That's all that I'm saying. You know, maybe eventually we could see some of that. I'd like to see a full manager, you know, sometimes when you're up, be more offensive. You know, try to put a team away. Anyways, enough of that. Let's quickly for about 10, 15 minutes talk about this match against Birmingham City. I'll just tell you a couple things, David. Birmingham are actually unbeaten in the last 5 matches and are coming off back-to-back 0-0 draws. Since Gary Rowett has taken over, Birmingham have won 7 out of 11. Pretty impressive. They were struggling when we beat them earlier in the season. Their formation the last couple matches has been a 4-2-3-1. Birmingham are right now 11th in the league. They've won 9. They have 10 draws and 9 losses. They've scored 31. They've given up 39 for a goal differential of -8, and they currently have 37 points. Fulham are in 15th. They have 10 wins, 4 draws, 14 losses, 41 goals scored, 10 more than Birmingham, but they've given up 10 more. So, again, that's the difference there. Their goal differential is -8 as well, and they're at 34 points. So the teams are fairly even. Their top goal scorer is Clayton Donaldson. He has scored 11 goals this season. He's a striker. And a player to watch is definitely midfielder David Cottrell, who also has 5 goals. So just to give you a little background on Birmingham City, they really have turned it around, David, since they changed the manager. And again, the one thing that I've noticed when I was watching highlights, when I've been reading about them, they're very physical. This is a team that likes to intimidate. They are going to come in Craven Cottage being physical. So that's just something to consider when we talk about this match. So I don't know if you've had a chance beyond our match to see Birmingham City. What are your thoughts about them and their turnaround?
Yeah, well, I saw them, of course, at St. Andrews, and you're right, they were pretty poor there. They were there for the taking. Although we didn't do much first half, we got ourselves back in the game, and then after that, it was really all Fulham. But, you know, Cottrell, he was definitely a bit of a threat. He scored quite a good goal, came in on his right foot. So to make sure that, you know, we're aware on keeping him quiet. But, you know, it's not a match. Again, it's not really a match we should be scared about. We shouldn't really be scared of these teams. You know, we have to be aiming to be a match for everyone in this division, but certainly the teams that are in the middle table around us, because these are the important games for us. And if we want to make sure of our position, then these are the teams we need to be beating. Because, you know, the top teams, obviously, we'd love to beat them as well, but they're going to finish above us anyway. So certainly we need to be winning this one. But, you know, new manager's coming, credit to him. He's done a good job with kind of, you know, what he had there. I don't think we should take them too lightly, but on the other hand, we really have to be targeting this as a win, because we've got, you know,
yes,
we've got a tougher match, I think, next Saturday, and we've got a tough midweek game as well away. So we need to really start the week rolling with a win to put that, you know, disappointment of Tuesday behind us.
I totally agree with you, David. You know, again, this is a match. You know, they're going to be coming in thinking that they can get all 3 points. Again, a team that is going to be confident coming into Craven Cottage, but we should be confident as well that we can get 3 points. That's what makes it I guess you could say a pretty even matchup going into it. And like I said, just like Fulham, a team on the rise, you know, again, they've arisen, I guess you could say, even farther than Fulham. You know, again, it's just 3 points. But what's interesting, Fulham, after all this, have one more victory than Birmingham City, but they really have turned it around. All right, David, quickly, tell us about the ref. I'm always worried about the ref now, my friend.
Well, don't be too worried, because I don't know anything about him, really, so I can't give you a judgment. It's Fred Graham from Essex, anyway, and he only came back in December. He was out for a long time with an injury, so he hasn't done much this year. But
okay,
the only comments I saw were, great to see him back. You know, he's a good ref, great to see him back, so let's hope he's one of the better ones. As I say, don't know anything about him. I don't think we've ever had him before. So just watch out for Fred Graham. You know, all these ref aficionados out there, have a look tomorrow, see what you think.
Okay, fair enough. All right, David, let's get right to it. What do Fulham need to do to win this match, my friend?
It's going to be like a broken record again, but, you know, we've got to start strong. We didn't start strong on, you know, on Tuesday. Start strong, take the game to them, play like we did against Forest. You know, be positive and make
no,
sure
I,
that,
listen,
you know,
I totally agree with that. You know, again, this is a team that again, is pretty good defensively. You know, and like I said, they're going to be physical. But I was just checking out the last several matches of them, David, and, you know, and just checking out the stats, and the majority of them, they've been far away of having the possession advantage here. Usually, you know, again, I've noticed a lot of 60-40, 55-45 with them, again, not having the possession, the lion's share of the possession. So this might be a match where Fulham will have the majority of the possession, which is a good thing. It's just a matter of what they can do with it. All right, David, which Fulham player needs to have an exceptional match for them to get all 3 points? I don't want to talk about getting 1 point, all 3 points. Who's the key player tomorrow, David?
Well, I'm dreading this one because I don't know.
You're
what
dreading this
do.
One?
Well, it shouldn't be anyone defensively because, you know, we shouldn't be relying on a defender to win the match for us. I think this is a match tomorrow where, for me, LBC comes back in from the start and we see LBC back to his best, really, because, you know, he came in at Sunderland and he was away at Sunderland and I think he played within himself a little bit. And obviously, he only figured for a few minutes the other night. And I'm not sure, I didn't watch the Blackburn game. It was a bit disappointing anyway. So LBC to come back in, and because I think we need, our midfield is where we need to win the match from tomorrow. Yes, you need to score goals, but I think the midfield needs to sort of put its socks up from the other night, be strong and be creative and be positive. So someone like LBC for me.
Okay, fantastic. All right, David, let's go to your starting 11 in the formation. I got a feeling the formation's going to be a diamond, but, you know, again, that's been the formation we've been using a great deal, but maybe you'll come up with something else. So what is the formation you would use? And also your starting 11, this is not Kit's starting 11, this is David Holley's starting 11.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the diamond. You're right. Obviously, Bettinelli in goal. He needs to put the other night behind him as well. He needs to move on from that. He can go out there, have a good game. It can all be forgotten, really. Back four. If Yanis is listening and Mike's listening, this is the interesting one because I have a feeling he's going to pick Richards at right back. I think he's going to rotate it, perhaps. I don't think Grimmer did anything on Tuesday to justify being rested, but I think I'm going to go for Richards, and I'm going to pick it purely for, I'd like to see him for myself and see what he can do. And
okay.
He's by his own admission quite an attacking fullback, and I think we do need to be attacking at fullback. So I'm going to go for Richards, Hutchinson,
okay.
Bodiroff and Stafelidis. Midfield three, well, it'll be Tunnicliffe holding with LVC and Fofana either side. I'm going to give Parker another break if he's not fully fit because we've got two more games next week. I'm going to give Kaká the benefit of the doubt and put him back into the cam role. If no other reason, because I don't want to see Ross McCormack there. I really just don't want to see Ross McCormack there.
Okay.
And I'm going to put McCormack back up front with, and this is the difficult one, I think I have to give the nod to Hugo because he scored the other night. Not a lot to choose between him and Corley. Very, very, you know, conservative lineup from me again, you know, no real changes at all, nothing really drastic, but at the moment I think we just need to, you know, we don't need to be tinkering and fiddling with it too much. I just want to see back to how Kit was with the stability. I mean, there could be a few curveballs in there because we have, you know, the prospect of maybe Kavanagh is back. I don't know, he hasn't mentioned that, but we may see him get thrown in instead of Fofana perhaps. We may see, I do fear that he's going to play McCormack in that cam role, which I don't want to see. But
yeah.
For me personally, McCormack has to play up front. LVC must come in. I think LVC must come in anyway, even if Parker's playing. If Parker's fit, then I would maybe rest Fofana or even Tunnicliffe. But LVC must say he's a play. But I'm going to give Parker a break if he's not fully fit. So that'll be
okay.
My side for tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic. And always interested to see how that turns out, David. So, obviously, when I see the starting 11, I'll be remembering what you picked, and we'll see how close you were to what Kit ultimately picks. All right, David, here are some predictions from the phone supporters, and I'll go to you. Stephen O'Keefe on the Cotter Sox Facebook page has draw 1-1, but obviously hopeful. We need all 3 points. Dean Pill wrote, I feel a steady 2-0. Reg Hollis has 4-1 to Fulham. Tom and Rahman has 1-1. David, you're going to like this one. Yavor Alexiev, 1-2. Usually when Russ says that a Fulham manager must put his players in the best possible position to succeed, he keeps failing to do so, and a month later he's gone. That was his prediction. You still there?
Yeah, no. I was just thinking of a witty comeback, but I couldn't think of one.
Oh, okay. I was expecting something, but you never came through. That's very strange. Okay. Simon Fulham, FC Hanid has 3-1 to the Super Whites. Come on, you Whites. Liam Byrne has 2-1. Rodiaga and McCormack. And Thea Evans, listening from New Zealand. She just woke up, by the way, because she already tweeted to us that she just got up to listen to the show live. A win, 2-0. Tunnicliffe to score. Very interesting. Okay, David, your turn. What is your prediction for the match tomorrow?
Okay. Kit's going to prove me wrong, and he's going to go and put the right team out there. And they're going to start positively, and they're going to stay positive, and we're going to win 3-1.
Wow, it's going for 3-1. Okay, fantastic. David, I think Fulham are going to win this match. Fulham need to be doing the double over certain teams. You know, again, I think Birmingham City are going in the right direction, but I think this is an opponent that Fulham can win. It'll be a close match, so I'm going to go for a nervy 2-1 victory. And, David, I'm going to go with a goal from Seiko Fofana and a goal from Ross McCormack.
Oh, blimey. Kit will probably play Ross McCormack in central defence or something tomorrow, so his chances to score may be limited. So I don't know. At the moment, I'd take a win from anywhere, and certainly a win like 3-1, something a bit more convincing, will do a lot to help, you know, the jittery fans like myself and everything, and all the naysayers and all that. And that's what we need at the moment. I think we need. Because if we have another performance like Tuesday, then, you know, there will start to be more and more dissenting voices, and it's not helpful at all, not really, not at this stage, not with a young impressionable team. We, you know, we really need to kind of get back on track as soon as we can.
Right, and I see why you went with 3-1, because I think a convincing win is what they really need. I'm going with a nervy 2-1 win, but, you know, I'll take anything, and obviously you will as well, but it would be nice if they had a convincing win. Similar to that Charlton match would be nice. You know, if they did something like that, I think, you know, getting us all thinking positive, I think that would be a good thing for everyone involved. We're talking about for Kip, for the players, and for the fans. I think a convincing win tomorrow would be fantastic. All right. All right, David, let's wrap up the show. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download Cotter's Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can now listen to Cotter's Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. David, believe it or not, we've had a ton of listeners already for our show yesterday. It's crazy how many people listened to the show just from yesterday. I guess many wanted to hear our commentary about the Sunderland match.
Well, that's good. I hope that it's given people something to think about. I hope that people can take it in context that from all ranges to that Kit's brilliant and Kit's useless to the more moderate ones that, you know, Kit's doing okay but could improve, or Kit's not doing okay and needs to improve. You know, there's all ends of the spectrum, and that's the kind of message to get out there to give people something to think about, really, and to, you know, look at the match. And you know, I hope that people can listen to what we say on here, take it on board, and then go out and make their own judgment, and then they can either come back to us and say, yeah, I think you're right, or no, I don't agree with you, this is why. As long as they don't come back and say stupid things. That's what annoys me, if people just come back with stupid things. But if people can come back and say, no, I don't agree with you because of, you know, an argument, that's fine, I listen to it, you can listen to it, we all listen to that, and then maybe we can change our own perception as well. It's all a learning experience for all of us. So, but you know, I'm always grateful when people listen and people make positive contributions, even if it's they don't always agree with us.
Yeah, you know, and I'm all about the commentary. You know, if you disagree with me, disagree with David, disagree with any of my co-hosts, that's fine. I want that banter going back and forth. I want the commentary. I want the comments. I want to be able to debate And I'm happy to be proven wrong. I have no problem saying, you know what, I was wrong. And David, you're the exact same way. You can admit when you're wrong, and it's all about, you know, again, like you said, it's a learning experience, and we're having fun doing it. And I love doing this show. I really do, and I'm glad that other people like it as well and listen, so much. You know, again, it's unbelievable. I'll leave you with this, David, and this will just put everything into perspective because I thought about this before we did the show, and then we'll wrap this up. I do a Patriots podcast. I actually do a couple. I host my own called Patriots 4th and 2. And I was just checking out the numbers lately compared to Cottage Talk. And I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. The numbers for Cottage Talk are double of what my Patriots internet radio show is. And, again, it's amazing to see that because, again, nothing against this fan base. It's a tight-knit family. The Patriots fan base is larger, and I get so many more people that listen to this show. I appreciate it so much. So I wanted to share that with everyone just to tell you, just to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Cottage Talk. All right, David. Excellent show, my friend. I know you have to go. So we're going to wrap this up.
One last thing.
Go ahead, David.
I keep threatening one day I'll come on your Patriots show. So maybe that's what you need. Maybe I can come on and increase the audience with stupid Brian Clough impressions. That would really go down well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that would be the end of my Patriots show. But that's okay.
I did get a bit nervous when you mentioned Clough earlier. I thought the temptation went past me very quickly, but I thought, no, I'm on my best behavior. No more silly impressions, yeah?
Okay, no more silly impressions. Listen, it's good to hear I can hear a little laughter in your voice. You know, I know you've had a tough day. So I'm glad that we could end on a positive note, my friend. You have a good night. And that's it for the show. For David Holley, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk.
Thanks, mate. Good night.
Cheers, David.
Boys and